Recording is now in progress. Okay, so previously, right, on Shir, we're dealing with the Isra of Unah. And whatever our question was, what's the nature of this Isra? And one thing we pointed out a bunch in the Psukim is the Psukim focus a lot on Al Tonu Ish Et Achiv, this concept of Achva, of like your responsibility for your fellow man, your fellow Jew, right? Don't oppress your Ishet Amito. He's your friend, right? He's your brother, and you have to treat him well. On the other hand, if we looked at the Gemara in Bava Tzion Daf Samech Aleph, the Gemara, right, Rava connects all three dinim of Gezel, Ribbis, and Onah, and he says they're all really Gezel, and since they're all really Gezel, you're kind of stuck. The question is like, why on earth do we have all three? So Isurim just say, don't steal, right? The Gemara says back, well, you actually can't because each one's different. In that process, the question is Rava being rejected? And when it says, oh, lo lichta rafana la bona, v'teisi mihanach, ma lahanach shekein ein derech mekach memkar bekach, as opposed to ona, which is derech mekach memkar, and therefore, you wouldn't know that it's Gezel, like Rava, or therefore it's not Gezel, right? That's Derech Mekach Lememka. That's just the way the market works. It's unclear how much we're accepting Rava Lemaskana. Okay, but Rava definitely thinks that all of the forms of Gezel, right, or, you know, stem from the root of the Din Gezel, while the Mashmas of the Psukim, right, again, focuses a lot on Al tonu ishet achiv, lo tonu ishet amito, yireta melokecha, kini hasham melokecha, right? Lo tonu ishet amito, and al tonu ishet achiv, this appeal to achva, is one that definitely implies that there's something different than Gezel. Okay. Lemaisa, how do we understand it? So the tour takes it fully as a din Gezel. It's really just part of Lo Tigzal. And since it's part of Lo Tigzal, right? So he doesn't say that you don't get Malkus because you have to pay back the Ona. He says you don't get Malkus because it's part of Lo Tigzal. And on Lo Tigzal, you don't get Malkus because it's Nitam Hishav. Right? So Tur really just says, oh, yeah, Ona is just part of Gezel. Yoshua, we noted, is a similar vein. His lashon, though, is a kivan dekai belav de lo sonu havale ki gezel umar bin ala li shabon with the hishvas exela. Kind of like, because it's aser, because as lotonu, it's similar to gezel, and therefore the hishvas exela applies. It's not that the mice, and what we've kind of trying to argue, the tour who thinks that it's a maisig zela, essentially. The Pneushua doesn't think it's a maisig zela, but since it's money that you've gotten illegally, so, and that, you know, you don't really have the rights to, sounds like even the reason why you don't have the rights is because of the Isser, not necessarily fundamentally, not like naturally you would be able to keep the money. It's almost like, because it's Isser, you don't get to keep the money. And therefore, you have to return it, because it's like ill-gotten gains, and therefore that triggers Behishavas Exela. But in itself, there's no Maisa Gezel, you know? And at certain times, like, you could argue there's like a Totsah Gezel, because it's someone else's money that you have illegally, but there's no Maisa Gezel. Now, you're over on Ona, you're not over on Gezel, but at the end of the day, you have to return it because of Behishavas Exela, right? So it's sort of like you have a Totsah Gezel, or Gazul, without the din of an action of gzeilu, right? Okay, right. Al kocha kiva de uver belav karina be v'heishav as gzeilu. Because you were over alav, mimila will call it, will apply v'heishav as gzeilu, even though fundamentally you never actually stole. That's the penyoshur, right? Which comes in, it's midin gezel. According to the tour, it's actually gezel. According to penyoshur, it's similar to gezel, or it triggers the totsa of gezel, or gazul, but you didn't actually do any gzela, but you have a hishmas like that. The Ramban, dealing with these psukim, gives a different approach. The Ramban is very bothered by the following issue. The Gemara says, in ona lekarkos, right, that there's no din of ona when it comes to karka. What's the problem? If you think about the psukim, what are the psukim that deal with ona talking about? Karka, right? It's about selling the land and the shnot hayovel that are included, right? And ani choshev utzvara, v'day hamaneat chaberu ledat over belav, bein b'metadlen, bein b'karkot. He says, ah. So how can we answer this din of in ona lekarkot if explicitly the psukim about ona are all about karka? He says, of course, for the iser ona, you're over also on metadlen and also on karka. Shebehen dibera katuv al tonu ishet amita et achiv bispar shanim achar hayovel shumazhir sheyiknu vimkeru lifi hashanim velo yonu ishet achiv. Aval rabotinu chidshu be'onaa tashlumin b'shtut hamekach. What happened? The chachamim were mechadish that by ona you have to pay back also once it's a sixth of the mekach. It's not that ona is the ona requires you to pay back. There's an isra of ona. Separately, the chacham, there's a chiddush, the rabbanan darshin, the rabbanan mechadesh, that not only is there an isra, you also have to pay back. And there's bitul mekach biyosev shtos. And if it's more than a shtos, then you have to, then it cancels out the whole mech. Ubize bilvad miyato hakarkaot lefi shehona behem afilu biyoter mishtut mechila. Any time that you are intentionally overcharging, you're over on an issue. I emphasize again a lot on that ledat, right? Intentional overcharging is aser. Okay? But you only have to pay back in cases where the discrepancy is such that it undermines the validity of the sale. And the Ramban says, when it comes to karka, this is something we're going to come back to later when we deal with like why ain't on other karkos, because when it comes to karka, people care much more about the karka than they do about the sale price. It's kind of true of the real estate market, right? People pay insane amounts for a house, like, right? It's very often more than like the house is worth, right? Or whatever, you pay a ton because you want a nice house. And you want it in that neighborhood, and the prices are crazy, or what people are asking for is crazy, but like, you're like, okay, but I want to live there. And then you pay a ton of money. So the Ramban, people aren't, it doesn't make it a mekach tos, even by karka, even when it's extreme. That's like a quirk of karka. That's about paying back. That's totally separate than the isra. Isra is any potential. V'darshu chachamim, v'neishu shamar kutu, v'kitim kurum, v'mkar, v'mtecha, v'kanom yara, v'anik. Okana, davar hanikneim yad liyad. Altonu ishet achiv. Lamanu sheish ba'ona din miyuchad b'metaltelin she'eino noheg b'karka hu achzarat ha'mamon aval azharat halav noheget b'kulam. Okay? He emphasizes that there's paying back is a separate din. That happens to be limited to metaltelin. But of course, universally, anytime you're overcharging intentionally is asar. Lakach amar v'kitim kiru memkar l'ashon rabin. L'mocher karka l'mocher metaltelin okana miyad mitecha. Okay, on all of them, there's an Isra Lotimdu. There are differences in terms of the consequence of having to pay back. But ultimately, the Isra applies equally. Okay, so says the Ramban, ultimately, the also karka, also metaltelin, everything, anytime you overcharge, is fundamentally usher as part of ona. There's a separate din that sometimes you have to pay back as well. And what does this imply to us? Let's think, you know, let's say it was Gensa. Yeah, Rachel, you about to say something?
Oh, it sounds like it's separating itself from Gezel, because even if you're not doing anything wrong legally, you're still being over on Motonu.
Or I would say, refine that. I'd say, even if you're not doing anything which has financial repercussions, right? You're still over the Isser. If it was like, if it was a financial crime, it's harder to imagine that you're totally over the financial crime, but you don't need to pay back, right? If you steal money, if you've done a financial crime, we make you pay back, right? And that's like a basic part of financial crimes, that you have to pay it back. The fact that the Ramban thinks that paying back is like a limited din that's, you know, that's like separate from the Isser al Tonu implies that it's not a financial crime, right? It's something different. Right? Now, again, there's a range of things that are like not gazelle. You know, you could say it's like, you know, it's like a misdemeanor or whatever. It could be, like wire fraud. I love wire fraud because it's what you always get bad guys on. But like wire fraud, though, is the act of like trying to trick the other people. So I guess you could be over it without having to pay back, right? So maybe you can argue it's something. It is kind of like a financial crime, but not one of like gezel mamash. But according to the Rabban, it's definitely not gezel, right? It could be something financial. It could be something, let's say, interpersonal. You know, it could be chosh mishpat, or it could be more like yirdeah. But it definitely is not gezel. Okay. Number two, and this I think is important as well, is this idea that it's always usher lehono ledat, to do it intentionally. Right? The lav, now remember, if you steal from someone by accident, so it was an accident, right? But you kind of roll over on an Isser B'Shogeg, right? Now again, it's a little tricky because if stealing something by accident, it's like, well, you didn't have das b'kones, so it's like maybe just shol shlomi das. But b'karon in general, right? Lidas isn't usually such an important factor. Sometimes it'll make you putter, right? But it'll be like shogeg. But normally not having kavana for it, or not being aware that you're doing something wrong, doesn't necessarily make it less bad. Doesn't make it not usher. Just usually gets you off the hook, right? But it doesn't mean that it was okay. Here, it's like it's only usher, lahonos ladas. And anytime it's intentional, it's usher, no matter what the circumstances are. Like no matter how much money and no matter what you're dealing with. I feel like that also gives us a hint that might not be even a financial crime at all. Not just that it's not gezel, but it's not even a financial crime.
This is it's a separate question from what you were just talking about. But I guess while we're reading the Ramban, we kept using the word overcharging. And in my head, I thought that Ona had to include some kind of deception. Like the buyer didn't know that they would be cheated, essentially. But
our assumption is that the buyer doesn't know, or the seller, yeah, either one of them could be the one who's getting dipped.
Okay.
The base case is that they don't know, right, about the value. We're going to talk about cases where, let's say, they know, but but he doesn't explicitly acknowledge it. Mm. But it's not necessarily that there's deception.
Okay.
Okay. Now, what's interesting is, what about the following case? Let's say the seller doesn't know that he's overcharging, but he is. Right? So in that case, he's not deceiving anyone, but I think that the mecher would still have to return the demeona.
Right.
Right?
Interesting.
But the Ramban also is to say that he's not over than he is, sir. Right? Number two is, let's say the opposite case. Let's say you're overcharging, but by a tiny amount. Right? That gets a little bit more into the question of like, less than, what's the din of onah pachas mishtas? But for the Ramban emphasizes this idea that any time you're overcharging intentionally, it's asr. The isr is really that intent to overcharge, right? While that's not obvious at all. If it's more of a gezel din, the isr is overcharging, is taking this other person's money, right? For the Ramban, though, it's like the emphasis is on the being non-ladas. If it was by accident, then you would be over there, so you'd still have to like, give back the money, but that's not really the answer. Right? Gezel, we don't say gezel is like, it's usher to steal on purpose. It's usher to steal. If it wasn't on purpose, right? So it might not have been gezel. But we don't say it's usher to steal on purpose. By ona, the Ramban says, it's usher to do ona on purpose. Right? What that already implies is that what we're dealing with isn't really about the finances, right? It's really something interpersonal. It's something about your action or how you're acting. Okay. So it's definitely, according to Ramban, a din b'fnei atzmo. And the question of tashlumin is really a separate issue, right? Which sometimes applies and sometimes doesn't. And, right, as we're pointing out, could it theoretically apply even though the answer didn't apply because, let's say, it wasn't minas. Okay, questions? We're good so far. Okay, great. Now, Reb Chaim asks the following question, which is very, very, I think, very good question, very, very clever question. Hanir Lomer. But in the case of ona, what happens is, right, let's say I charge $60 for something that's only worth $50, so I have to pay back the extra $10, right? I ain't sure, the Rambam. Shapazak dafilu lihim ha-ma'ane lo yadda shema'aneu. Let's say I didn't know I was overcharging. Okay, so I didn't do anything, I didn't know, like, I wasn't bechavan. Gam kain hadin kain, dekanao machzia ona. Okay? Now, I didn't know that I was charging. I thought I was really selling it for 60 because it's worth 60. It turns out it's really worth 50. So I still have to return the extra 10. V'tzorech iyun, dekishen machzia ha-ona, im kain ha-hevi legabe, ta'ut b'davar, shabim midaw, mishkal, v'shabim minyan, dechozea. I said, wait a second. I thought I was selling you something for 60. And I thought I was going to get 60 out of it. Instead, I'm only getting 50. What should that make it? I think it's a horse, and it turns out it's a mule. That's nekach tavs. Says Rabbi, shouldn't every case of ona, shouldn't cases of ona where the me'ane, the person who's overcharging, has to give back the extra money, doesn't that undermine the whole sale? Right? Because we've breached the terms of the sale. I sold it to you for 60, and now you're taking back 10. Means I'm only getting 50. Means that I never agreed to this sale. I agreed to sell it to you for 60. Now I'm selling it to you for only 50. That's not fair, right? Or it is fair, but that's not the sale that I agreed to, so it's a nekach tavs. That's Reb Chaim's question. Now, Reb Chaim adds in a caveat, which is, if I knew ala atchala that it was really only worth 50, so then you can argue that it's not a mekach tavs. Why? Because I knew that I'm selling you something worth 50. I tried to get an extra 10 out of you, right? But since I knew that I was overcharging, so I really know that the real sale is for 50, and I'm also trying to get an extra 10 out. Or he says, you can make that argument. But let's say I don't even know. I didn't know I was overcharging. In which case, I sold you something for 60, and now I'm getting 50. So that's a tellus b'davrshim b'midah mishkal b'minyan. But if I say I'm selling you 10 kilo and it turns out that the bag only holds 9 kilo, right? So that is definitely a mekach tavs because we said it was 10 and it turns out it was only 9. Because I said I'll sell you horse and it turned out to be a mule. It's a good question. It's a really good question. Right? Because at the end of the day, it's just a different sale than what we agreed to. It's just not the terms of our agreement. So you're right that like it's because this guy's getting cheated, but then today I never sold it. I never agreed to sell it for under these terms, right? It's not ona against the seller, right? But toast heavy regabe hamaser ona. At the end of the day, it's still a toast because I thought I was going to get 60 and I'm only getting 50. Right? The terms of the agreement have not been fulfilled. So why can't I just back out of the whole sale? So Tzitzit Lechaim is something very, very fascinating. It's Asher Yirae Buchrach Bazeh. Mishum Dibachol Nas Shtus. Im Mishum Din Taos. Halo Shtus Shaber Pachos Mishtas. Right? The Hayatzar Chlios HaMekach Kayim Kamo Shepasku Zem Zem. This is if it's because of Taos, then at the end of the day, and that has to be Kayim, because that's what they agreed to. V'had b'shtos machzir ona hu rak migzir chasov b'fnei atmo hanemar ba'ona d'shtos kano machzir ona. Right, the Torah told us that by shtos you have to return the extra money. V'kein hacha nimtza d'mishum etzet ma'isa hamekach lo hayotzarech l'hachzir klal ona. In terms of the business deal, the terms of the contract are being fulfilled. The rak din Torah hu shiachzir. Okay, why? Because Hachzaras Onash who did the Gzeras Akasov b'fnei Atzmo, Kima Hachzaras Hagzeila. Okay, meaning what? His question is: we agreed to sell it for 50, for 60, and now you're only giving me 60, right? Which means that the terms of the contract have not been fulfilled. His answer is that the contract is still for 60. And you are indeed, right, hey, you paid me 60. Elama, I have to pay you back the extra 10, right, as a separate part of the deal. Or as a separate part of the whole situation. Why? Because the Torah told me to. You got that?
One thing we were unclear about was he kept referring to machzir ona, and that was the difference in value. It wasn't just returning the object.
Machzir ona, it's just the difference in value, not the object.
Okay, that makes sense.
But the question is, we agreed to 60, right? But in fact, I'm only paying, can you see that? A little bit.
There's a whiteboard function on Zoom that might work a little better, like a virtual whiteboard instead of the physical.
I don't have my touch. I'm using a different computer. I'm not using a touchscreen computer today. So it's just like it would be super nice to do with a mouse. Yeah, you don't have a touchscreen, and that would be. Okay.
So maybe if you just write a little bigger, that might make it clearer. I don't have a touch screen.
What is it here? Can you see it?
What does it say after Rav Chaim? Oh, no.
Is this a key? Yeah, what is it? His question. Here we go.
Oh, it's a cue.
Okay. And his question wasn't you. Now it's just that's the client. And question, I'll make a big Q over here. I'll make a Q over here in red. Who is his question? Whatever. I've already started, so I'm just using the board, right? We agreed to 60, but I'm only paying 50, right? His answer is that this is not true. We agree to 60. I'm paying 60. And the Torah is making me return 10. Actually, now that I used the right word, I'm just going to go back to not using the right word. Figure it out. It's a good option. Meaning what he's saying, essentially, is that his question is, we agreed to 60, but at the end, right, because it was on the sales for 50, right? That the assumption is that this is a financial difference, right? The sale has changed, or the sale is really only for the value of the object, in which case the sale itself is really for 50. Now, says Rav Chaim, if I didn't know that, because I didn't realize it was only worth 50, that would be a mekach tos, no? His answer is it's not that the term, that the sale itself has changed. It's not a financial choshen mishpat thing. It's a separate thing that there's a sale,
the sale goes through, it's a regular sale, right? But the Torah says that you have to give back the extra money, and therefore I have to return 10, but that's a different thing. That's independent of the fact that there was a sale for 60. I agreed to a sale for 60, the sale for 60 went through. Now the Torah says I have to give back 10 of it. That's a separate mitzvah. Yeah, hi.
Sorry, I'm just curious about the like sort of moral and religious implications of that, because that means that you haven't undone the sin. I'm just thinking about like, you know how like some of Eros, like you can undo them and some you're stuck with them. So I think it's just interesting. It's not exactly a question, but I think it's kind of interesting this framing of the returning of the Onah. You haven't undone like the moral crime or religious crime, however you want to, or the sin, which I think is kind of interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think in general, it's a big question, like, in cases of, like, lava nita class, say, are you undoing the sin, or are you trying to fix it? Right?
Right.
I mean, are you trying to, like, stop it from having happened? Right. Or you did something bad, that bad thing has happened, but now you right. can kind of, like, fix the repercussions. Mm-hmm. I would say, like, the Hishavas, like, Zela, mm-hmm. I think is a good question of... Is that Dafka? Are you undoing it? Because like, I took no. it and I'm putting it back. It's like, it never happened.
I don't think so. Because then you would have to be KFL. Because KFL is like a penalty. You haven't so made up for it because you're still going to pay for it. Like, you're still going to.
Right. So actually, that I think is a little different. That gets into like an interesting question. Like, what's the difference between Gneva and Gzela? My theory is that the difference between Gneva and Gzela is that in Gzela, what you're after is the object. So what's gazela? In broad daylight, you grab the object from the guy, right? You're really after the object. You're not necessarily interested. You may or may not even pay for it, right? As we saw in the Chamsin again. However, when it comes to gazela, you break it in the middle of the night, right, and steal stuff because that's your job. Like that's how you make money, right? A ganav is someone who makes money by stealing stuff. So a gazlan wants the object.
A specific.
The key of a gazlan is to give the object back. Right? It's like, we're undoing whatever we did. When it comes to a ganav, he wanted to make money by stealing stuff, and now we can make him lose the equivalent amount of money, and he has to pay kesef.
Right.
So I think, so there, actually, that's actually a good argument in favor of like, no, we're trying to fix it even. We're trying to like undo it, and like do the opposite. The question is like, how much are we trying to like do the opposite to like, to fix what you did? Or is it we're trying to undo what you did?
Right.
So here would be like, oh no, we're preventing the bad thing from happening, or we're undoing it. Well, here, right, we're trying to like fix the repercussions, but not necessarily undo what happened. Yeah.
Right. I'm thinking also of like burning Nosar. Wait, is it Nosar?
Yeah, right. Nosar. Okay. Burning Nosar would be not undoing, but like fixing.
Right.
Right. Yeah. You can't turn, let's say, turn back the clock, but right. what you can do is like, if it got no start, here's the right way to deal with that situation. Here's something the right thing to do there. Like, yeah, that's yeah. definitely a case where it's clearly a...
Right, you can undo it.
Not an undoing, but like a fixing going forward.
Right, interesting.
Okay. Yeah, this is good. So this is Reb Chaim. So this is Reb Chaim, right? The idea that you're... Let's say you need to fix this, right? There's this like asay or this chiv to like pay back. It's exerts a kazu with me atmo, puts us right in the realm of saying, oh, you did something wrong. Now we're gonna fix it. Or this is something the Torah doesn't approve of. Now we'll fix it. But it's not that financially, right? There was something wrong with the method. The method was perfectly acceptable, right? It gets into this more of like, okay, well. It's only worth 50 and you charge him 60. So the Torah tells you you have to give it back. Go fix that, right? Go make things better. But it's not on a financial fixing, though, or it's not a financial reversal, right? It's like you're not reversing the charge on the car. You're like paying it back.
Right. But even without the financial aspect, like, sorry, like we can move on if I'm spending too much time on this, but I'm just what I'm curious about. Sorry? Should we move on?
No, your turn.
Okay, thank you. No, I'm just curious, and I don't know how like easily quantifiable this is in like a Boadicea kind of way, but like comes Yom Kippur, do you have to make, do you do tshuva? Like, or are you done with that sin? That's kind of like my question, but like I don't know how like much you can pin that down, sort of, but
right. Yeah. Interesting. like how much is this like an independent,
like you did something wrong. You did something wrong.
But you still have to do tshuva, right? Are like kind of independent or no? Like one, this is the way to fix this, like,
and now it didn't happen. You
fixed it.
Right. Except I mean right. we just didn't think it happened though. It did happen. You're not undoing it. So maybe yeah, you do. Anyway.
Right. Like right. I feel like according to this, according to this option, it's, I feel like right. My idea would more be that like it never really happened. It didn't really go through. On the other hand, and think of this though, and here it didn't really go through, but I tried to do it.
Right, intention to sin. Yeah.
Well, here it did go through, and then I did something to fix it. It's a little bit of a question of like, if you try to do something wrong and it doesn't work,
fail.
Is that better than having done something wrong but then like done something to fix it?
Right.
Because like in one case you did less bad, but in the other case you like then took a step to rectify.
Right.
And then yeah, that's an interesting, stupid question. I'm sure you can, you know, I feel like I think the answer is like both. Like, you know, it's there are advantages to each. Or disadvantage.
Right.
I think you have to do, to the Rambam, you have to do tshuva on Yom Kippur for like everything you've already done tshuva for. So.
Right.
Okay, so this is okay. Let's see the end of Chaim. Right, so Chaim kozehu ba'ona. It's like, sorry, wait. She'al korchav shabu ha'mekach miskayim v'lo da'im and be'din tos l'gai b'hamanu v'zoyal. Kima d'minin Torah hu shemasir. Not that there's something different in the Mekah, right? It's not that the financially this didn't go through, right? Because it was a financial misdemeanor. In Cain, lo dainim abeidin tos, they zeh b'ha Mekah, because the sale was a good sale, just separately, separately your chayav last. Achen kol zehu ba'ona, didin hachzarata hu migzeh v'atakatu. And why do you have to return it by ona? Because the Torah says you have to give it back. Right? In a Mekach Tos, you give it back because there was never a sale, right? It never happened. In Nona, it happened. You just have to give it back because the Torah told you to. Right? So let's say, for example, you have like a case of Mekach Tos where you sell the guy a horse and you give him a mule. So then the whole thing just never went through, right? You never actually sold him anything. There is no sale. Okay. That's a time al Harambam. I'm emphasizing that. Which, similar to the Ramban, right, has this idea that really Ona is an Isser independent of the Mekach. There's a Mekach. The Mekach is Kayam, right? Separately, says the Ramban, it was Usher to do that Mekach. Says the Ramban, says Reb Chaim, it was the Chiyuv Tashlumin is a separate Zeres HaKasa. There was a sale. The Chiddush of Ona is that you have to pay back the Ona. Right? Now, again, the Ramban, the Reb Chaim, Al Rambam and the Ramban are different in that the emphasis of the Ramban is on the Isser to do the Ona, while for Chaim the emphasis is on the Din Tashlum, right? The Ikar Ona, according to the Ramban, is the taking of the Ona. The Ikar Din of Ona, according to the Chaim Al Rambam, is the Chiyuv Tashlumin of the Ona. Both of them, though, separate Ona from Gezel. Gezel is a problem in, right, the actual transaction and the actual financial interaction. Here, the financial interaction is a valid financial, not valid financially. There's a separate ISR, right? Now, what that separate ISR emphasizes, according to the Ramban, is Al-Tonu Isha Tachiv, the Unah of your friend. The Ramban also emphasizes the fact the ISR is to be Ma'aneh Nidat, right? When you know and you intentionally overcharge him. While for Reb Chaim al Rambam, the emphasis is not so much on the intent to overcharge, right? But that the Torah is mechayiv you to pay back when you do overcharge, or if you overcharge, even if it was by mistake, right? So for the Rambam, the chiyuv tashlumin is like the main emphasis. While according to the Rambam, the iser lekicha is the main emphasis. Okay, but both of them separate it from gezel. So both of them see it as a din b'fnei atzmo. Okay. Yeah, to you.
I was wondering how to connect Rav Chaim's answer to the Rambam. The idea that even if you don't know what you're doing or not, it's still an issue.
Well, if it's, why is that a problem? Is that even better? Why? Well, that's kind of the easy point, is that you didn't know that you're doing or not. But the mitzvah is to return the extra money, right? Or the main emphasis is that you have to return this money. So you can't take Yelech HaTchila, and if you did, you have to return it. But even if you didn't know that you were not allowed to take it, you still have to return it.
Right, so I get that generally, but why wouldn't you just call it a Mekach Taud if he doesn't know what he's doing?
Because the Mekach is a totally valid Mekach. The Torah is mechayiv you to return it, but the Mekach itself was a valid Mekach, right? We're over here. You thought you were selling it for 60, you are selling it for 60, right? And then the Torah comes and says, but you have to give back. It's almost like, you know, like a kid sells his bamba in the park for, you know, for 6 shekel, and then his parent, and then the other kid pays him 6 shekel, and the parent comes and says, like, I gave you that bamba as a snack, and I told you should share, and, like, you can't charge your friends. For Bamba, give back his money, right? It's not that there wasn't a valid sale, right? It's just that a higher authority has come and said, give it back. Right? But that what that does is says it wasn't a theft, right? No one's saying that you stole it from him. No one says that you have no financial right to this, right? The Torah is saying that don't do this or give this back, right? But that's a separate, this is not a financial issue. Right? I don't think there's anything wrong with the finances here. Okay, now what's interesting, what's funny that is Reb Chaim al HaShas, okay, which is like the notes of his like shir that he gave to the Talmid, that the Talmidim wrote up. The Chidushim al Rambam, the Rambam, the Reb Chaim went through like many, many times. Okay, those are like his like, this is what I really think. The Chidushim al HaShas are like notes on his shir. Okay, so it's not so surprising what we're about to see, but still, it's interesting. Rahim is talks in Al Shas discusses this. Nirlo Marbazeh, he may usually take the una. Im haTorah gilta diyeshkan bekichat isur, didat kaze ino chashuv dat, viyeshkan maaseg zela, valikichahi beisur. Is what's going on by Ona? Is it that the Torah tells us that you should know that this das is das b'taut? Therefore, he didn't really need to give you 60 when it's only worth 50, and because of that, it's a mech. It, you never really have rights to the extra 50, or right? Because he never meant to sell it to you or to buy it from you to give you that extra money. V'alekicha hi be'isur, right? It's really just like. You know, gezel, that extra money. Oh, the Yidei Masha Asra Torah, Ona'a Belav, the Lotonu, Ze Mash V'yat Ona'a V'gzela. His suffering is, oh, it's Pasha that it's gezel. The question is it gezel because the Torah is just letting you know that this is not legitimate consent, and therefore, he never really agreed to give you the extra money, and therefore you're stealing that extra money. Or because the Torah told you you're not allowed to do it, the Bela, you have no financial right to it, and then it's gezel. In the beginning of Ezer Neshach, it said that the reason why you couldn't learn out Ona from Gezel is because by Ona it's Derech Mekach Umemkar. He says, if there's no Da'at, right, then who cares that it's Derech Mekach Umemkar? You can't, just because you're standing in the marketplace doesn't mean you could steal from people, right? Al Kras Vachzach Lomar, Da'alav De'lo Tenu Mashvi Leib Zela, V'lo De'hevi Gilui De'yishkan V'kichat Yisus. Therefore, it must be that even though it's Gezel at the end of the day, right, it's Gezel because the Torah told you you're not allowed to do it. Not because naturally, right, you never, the dot of the koneh was vitalu, right? He never really agreed to pay. If he had known it was only worth 50, he never would have agreed to pay 60, and therefore the extra 10 is Gezel. Rather, because the Torah told you you're not allowed to take the extra 10, therefore it's, the extra 10 is Gezel. Okay, so I'm going to use the board again just because.
This is an error because no Da'at, and therefore he only really agreed to pay 50. Because when he said he'd pay 60, that was a lie. That was just based on a deception, so he never agreed to it. Or it's because, right, the Torah was Kobeya, and you can't be mine.
Okay. I just put it on the board. I want to put it on the board. You don't really need to
do that. But basically, at the end of the day, Ruchaim Shas thinks it's obvious that it's Gezel.
The question is it Gezel naturally? Because the guy never really agreed to pay you the extra money, right? You tricked him into it, and it was a lie, so it doesn't really count. So he never agreed to give you the money, so you just took his money, right? And taking someone else's money without their consent is called Gezel. Or if he did consent, but the Torah said you're not allowed to do it, you know, sort of like a divrei rav, divrei talmid, the Torah told you you're not allowed to take this money, which means you have no right to it, and now you took someone else's money, which the Torah says you have no right to it, so the mila is Gezel. I remember like we were discussing that Chazanish by Ribbis. Okay, in which case, at the end of the day, the result is still Gezel, okay? But that's a separate chiddush here. But he thinks it's pasha that we're talking about Gezel, right? The habona in kind of kichat gzeila, rak the halav mashvi deli gzeila. Okay, one second. This is important. El hagzeila mista bas me halav dolo tevnu. Ulahach ishaper minev gemara kima shederach mekach memkar bekach. Ech neilav mehani veech neida sheish bze iser kolal. Ulafize as ishaper kushet the gemara be chot. Ahachi pach lama likra donat akum muteret kima de gzeila tal lekalav. Again, but not now me like a lav. The meila kibud like a lav in time gezela klal. The heavy head of the mul. This is very important. You know, the habona in time the kichat gezela. The rak the halav mashvi the gezela. Ube akum for God the like a lav in time gezela kol ikam. His question is, or he's answering the question of if ona is a type of gezel, then how come there's no iser ona, and then how come there's no problem of ona from a guy? Not allowed to steal from a guy, right? So if you remember, we discussed this a lot by Rebbes. Says the Ruchaim here, question answer, right? Because it's not really Gezel in the sense that it's not naturally Gezel. It's only Gezel because the Torah told you you're not allowed to do it, right? You're not allowed to take on from a Jew. The Mela turns into Gezel, right? So says the Ruchaim, what's the Nafkabina? If it's because there's no Das, right, if it's because there's no das and the Torah is just megale that there was no consent and he just took his money without consent, mimela for a guy that would be gezel because the guy also didn't give you consent, so you're stealing from him, right? And then you should, and then not for a guy, from a guy should also be usher. However, if it's just that the Torah said it's usher, take ona from a Jew. Right, and because the Torah said you can't take ona from a Jew, mimela that turns it into gezel because the Torah said you have no right to this. Mimela for a guy who the Torah never said it's it said Altonu Ishit Achiv, but it's mutter to, or there's no isser to take ona from a guy. Mimela, there's no problem of gezel, because not naturally gezel. It's gezel because the Torah told you you're not allowed to do it. Since the Torah never told you you're not allowed to take ona from a guy, mimela, there's no isser ona for a guy, and it wouldn't be gezel to take from a guy because he agreed to it. Right? Meaning the guy agreed to it, and that agreement works. What happens? The Torah tells you you're not allowed to do it. Al tonu ishet achiv. Says you're not allowed to take ona from a Jew. You're not allowed to take ona from a Jew, but you are from a guy. In which case, it's not gezel to take it from a guy, because you have every right to it, because the guy agreed to it. If there was no agreement, so then for a guy, you're taking the guy's money without his agreement, that's also gezel. If it's because the Torah made it usser, and that takes away your rights to the money, and that creates gezel, so then for a guy, right, it would be mutter because the Torah never ushered it for a guy, right? Right. On a guy should be husband, right? Now you could make complicated arguments like we did when it came to Ribbis, that even if we consider this some sort of like improper consent, what's the threshold of consent might be different in Chosh and Mishpah and in Sheva Metzos Bnei Noach. Okay, but we're not going to get into that. But we're kind of bringing this as an afternoon. Okay, we're going to stop here, and then we'll continue Sunday with the Sefer Chinuch and his interesting shita, and then we'll get into a bunch of afternoons. Okay, Shkach.
Thank you so much.
If I can just clarify.